Well, as we begin today, an angel appears at a faculty meeting and tells the dean that in return for his unselfish and exemplary behavior, the Lord will reward him with the choice of infinite wealth, wisdom, or beauty. And without hesitating, the dean selects infinite wisdom. Done, says the angel. The angel disappears in a cloud of smoke and a bolt of lightning. Now, all heads turn to the dean, who sits surrounded by a faint halo above his head. One of his colleagues says, "Say something." The dean sighs and puts his head down. He says, "I should have taken the money." You'll get it later because he's got infinite wisdom. Never mind. All right. I'm curious, as we're kind of talking about making decisions and we're in this series, how many of you, if you got a job offer in a city that you liked, maybe it's a city you've always dreamed about living, doing the same thing that you're doing now or maybe doing something that you would really want to do, and it was a $12,000 raise, $1,000 a month raise, how many people would take it? Your bosses aren't, we're not videotaping this, we're just asking for your honesty. It's just, you know, okay, all right. How many people would take it? $12,000. Not very many. $50,000. $50,000 a year raise, how many people would take it? Man, you guys are sticking to your guns. That is awesome. $100,000, life-changing money right there. $100,000, $50,000, life-changing. Anyways, $100,000, man, you guys must really love Waverly. That's awesome. Or wherever you're planted. So that's cool. Well, a key line from the book Divine Direction is this, and that's what this message series is taken from, is that the decisions that we make today determine the stories that we will tell tomorrow. It's very, very true. In other words, we make our decisions, and our decisions make us. Think about that for a little bit. It's absolute truth. Decisions are incredibly important. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first idea, and that is that many people are having more difficult time making decisions than they ever have in the past, this millennial generation. And the first reason is a huge one that we talked about, and that is that they have so many more options than any generation has had before them, literally unlimited. They can travel places that we couldn't afford to travel. They can see things that we've never seen. Instead of choosing between a few restaurants, you can have anything you want delivered from an app on your phone, right? You can have it delivered to your house. And there's so many options, and it makes it that much more difficult. And this is the first generation, the millennial generation that has dealt with what people call the illusion of perfection. It's a common problem. For example, when I grew up, I knew about my imperfect home. And don't get me wrong, I love my home life. I have no complaints. I love my parents. They raised me right. At least I think they did. Others might argue. But anyways, I love my home. But I knew that it wasn't perfect because I know that there's no perfect anything, really, except for Jesus Christ. And I knew that I had imperfect friends, and I know that they had imperfect families. I went to an imperfect school. And so today, because of social media, we see what many call this illusion of perfection. You see a snapshot, if you will, into the lives of the people that look like they look perfect, right? You're like, oh my gosh, that's my friend. They moved out to North Carolina years ago. And oh my goodness, they're just living the dream, man. They're always on the beach. They're always doing this. They're always going out to nice restaurants. They're always wearing nice clothes. I was at a conference down in Dallas, Texas about 7 years ago. And I heard Pastor Stephen Furtick say that we're often comparing other people's highlight reels to our everyday behind the scenes. And it's really the truth. It's really the truth. I find myself sometimes doing that and have to catch myself. The Bible says to take every thought captive. I have to take that thought captive. And we kind of conclude, oh my goodness, our lives are horrible. They're so imperfect. And there she is again. You know, she's got that perfect body. She's always working out. She's always got the perfect pose and the perfect smile. And there he is again. Man, he's got that perfect relationship. They're on a perfect date. You know, they're on this perfect vacation wearing clothes that don't wrinkle, eating a perfect meal, and I'm home with my Pinterest fail. You know, I burnt the chicken. I didn't know how to make it. You know, I failed Pinterest again. And because Pinterest never fails you. Anyways, and you're just thinking, man, I'm just horrible. I'm just horrible. I can't do this right. And if you add to this those who are followers of Jesus through something known as the perfect will of God, You ever hear that terminology? The perfect will of God. I don't want to miss the perfect will of God. So many people say there must be one perfect person for everybody. I used to think that this is true. But let's just scratch the surface just for a second. If you think about that, as much as that just sounds amazing and kind of really romantic, if you think about it just for a second, if one person throughout all of history and of the 7+ billion people that live on this earth right now, one person marries the wrong one, screws up the whole system. They're done. And if you're that one, I forgive you. It's my fault. I did it. I'm totally the one. I'm guilty. But we have a generation that is afraid of making imperfect decisions. So instead of making an imperfect decision, they end up making no decision at all, which ends up becoming even more imperfect. It actually becomes quite dangerous. I want to talk today about how we grow in our decision making. How do we grow when it becomes more difficult to decide? Our decisions become even more critical. Where do I go to college? Should I date this person? Should I even marry this person? Should I buy this house instead of rent? Should we get another car? Should I take that job? How do we know what God wants us to do? And the good news is, if you're a follower of Jesus, God will show you exactly what he wants you to do. There will be no doubt in your mind, no problems ever, no obstacles that will ever come against you. And that is what a lot of people believe. And I'm just going to tell you, that is completely untrue. You will face obstacles. You will have hardships. Jesus talked about it. You will have things that are difficult in your life. And those things are, that is not a true statement. Well, if I'm a follower of Jesus and Jesus is going to show me exactly where I'm supposed to land, who I'm supposed to land with, who I'm supposed to be with, we're going to look at a portion of scripture. This is the Apostle Paul. If anybody is going to understand what God wants, it's got to be Paul, right? This guy wrote the majority of the New Testament. He had encounters with God in heavenly places. He started church. He was the master church planter. He planted churches all over. And if anybody knows what's coming and God's going to give him insight, it's got to be the Apostle Paul. And so watch how detailed Paul's understanding of what is coming in the future really looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it's in your notes, verse 6. He says, perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me and there are many who oppose me. He didn't say because no one opposes me. No, he says no because there are many who oppose me, perhaps for a while or even wherever I go. I hope, I'm not sure. If the Lord permits, there are many who oppose me. Do you see all of the uncertainty from this writer in this scripture from Paul? Even Paul didn't have a clue of what was to come, even though he was walking out his faith. He was doing what God has called him. He was walking out his calling, but he didn't know every step. He didn't know everything that was before him. And if you feel a little bit like Paul today, take comfort in this. God doesn't always show us the future. And I dare say that sometimes, rarely God shows us the future. God doesn't show us the details all the time. Man makes plans in his heart, the word of God says, but the Lord determines his steps, step by step. How do we grow in God's perfect will? We do it step by step, right? You say, God, show me what to do. And God says, show me what to do. You want me to show you what to do? Okay, I'll show you what to do. God, you're going to show me what to do. And God says, I'm not going to show you always what to do, but I'm going to give you wisdom to decide. I'm going to give you some wisdom. Hear this. God doesn't always show us specifically what to do, but he will give us wisdom to discern, to decide. God showed me what to do, and God says, I'll give you wisdom to decide. How about that? We're looking at wisdom to discern today, and the wisdom is one of the most important traits that you can pursue from the Heavenly Father. In fact, This is what Solomon did in the Old Testament. When Solomon became king, he was to sacrifice a bull to the Lord to make a burnt offering. And Solomon wanted to worship God in the most extravagant ways and honor God in extravagant ways. It wasn't to show off, it was to honor God. And so instead of making one sacrifice, Solomon had 1,000 burnt offerings, 1,000, an extravagant act of worship to God. And in a dream, God said to him, hey, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want. He told that to Solomon in a dream. And if you think for a moment that generosity doesn't move the heart of God, an extravagant move of generosity draws the heart of God. God says, I'll give you anything you want. And what Solomon doesn't say is, give me riches, give me more power, destroy my enemies, make life easy for me. No. He doesn't say that. But what he does say is, he says, help me be a good king. Kind of, I know, isn't that awesome? Help me be a good king. That tells you the heart of Solomon, doesn't it? It shows us the heart of Solomon. Give me the wisdom to know right from wrong. Give me the wisdom to make decisions that would honor you, God. Not anyone else, but honor you. And God said, hey, because you didn't ask for all of these other things, these riches, I'm going to give those to you as well. That's how much I love you. That's how much I appreciate your obedience. I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you all of these other things as well. And that's why this is what Solomon said. Very, very direct. Proverbs 4:7, he said, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. You want to know the wisest thing you can do? Get wisdom. And then he goes on to say it again. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Get wisdom and develop good judgment. Whatever you do, Solomon said. For those of you that have lived long enough, I know for sure you get to be 18, 25, 35, 40, in your 40s, and eventually you're going to say something like this. You're going to say, oh my goodness, I wish I knew back then what I know now. Right? We've all said it. What is that? That's wisdom. It's wisdom, honestly. It's what it is. Wisdom above anything else is more valuable than gold, Solomon said. Get wisdom. God, I want divine direction. Show me what to do. Listen, God will not always show us what to do, but he will give you the wisdom to decide. We're going to unpack that in just a minute. So show me what to do. God says, no. I'm not going to exactly show you this time, but I am going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to help you through this, and you're going to walk through this. So we're going to look at three simple thoughts in your notes. They're fill-ins there. They should be easy to remember because they're just one word each. As we're looking at God's divine direction to wisdom. The first thing is this. It's just simple words. The first one that we're going to talk about is the word walk. The word walk. This is what Proverbs 13:20 says. Walk with whom? Walk with the wise. And what happens when you walk with the wise? You become wise, the scripture says. For a companion of fools suffers harm. You walk with the wise and you become wise. A companion of fools suffers harm. It's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Amen? It's true. It's almost impossible. Your mom is right, all right? Your dad is right. Listen to them. It's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong people around you. Walk with the wise and become wise. A companion of fools suffers harm. I love this imagery that we're told to walk with the wise. In other words, we do life. That's what the scripture is saying. This isn't like, oh, I'm going to just hop on the internet here and this person's really wise and I'm going to read one of their blogs or I'm going to read one of their papers or I'm going to read one of their writings and we're just going to call it that. No, this means literally that we do life together, and we're really big at this church about that. We're doing life together and we're succeeding at it. This kid is excited. He's my life group cheering partner, yes. And this is one of the reasons that we've talked so much about life groups and why we put such an importance on it is because it helps us to enter in. It kind of gives us a doorway to enter into doing life together. And through these life groups, relationships are developed. And so people are far outside of these walls. They're doing life together. They're hunting together. They're going to the store together. They're having friends over at their house. They're doing all of these things. And you know, sometimes we just think, oh man, I'm just gonna go to church for 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week. I'm gonna do a little Bible reading here and a little Bible reading there. And I just want to tell you, that's really not enough. It's not enough, because the pull of this world is upon you towards the things that are displeasing to God every single day, all day, every day, right? And so when you're in a work environment, there's so much worldliness, there's so much negativity, there's so much sinfulness all over. We need to walk with people consistently who lead us in the right direction. If you're not walking with someone that is challenging you on a regular basis, find someone else to walk with. Still walk with that person. I'm not telling you to, you know, boot your friends to the curb. But find someone that challenges you, that speaks life into you, that isn't afraid to tell you the truth. And we're passionate about these things, and our kids and our men and our women and our kingdom culture, student ministries and life groups, we're passionate about these areas. If you see an area of success in a person's life, I guarantee you they've been walking with the wise. Whether it's a business partner, whether it's a close friend that can give them good instruction. And if you want to make better decisions, hang around better people. Some of you, this is really what you need to hear. It's so important because it's scriptural. You want God's direction? Hang out with God's people. It doesn't mean that you're not ministering to those that are apart from God, but you're walking with those who are walking with Jesus. They're hearing from Jesus. They're experiencing Jesus. They're experiencing him in their day-to-day. Maybe they're experiencing miracles in their life. You walk with the wise. You grow with the wise. Walk. The second thing that we're doing is we're going to ask. You want wisdom? There's a promise and a prayer that God will always answer. Every time you ask God for wisdom, he will hear your prayer, and he says yes, and he will give it to you. We see it in James chapter 1, verse 5. It gives us this promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. You ask God for his wisdom, and he will give you wisdom. I ask for wisdom from God, I kid you not, probably on a daily basis. And probably some of you are thinking, man, I would have never guessed. Anyways, I don't know. When you ask God, he loves to share wisdom with his children. Here's the deal, though. You have to spend time with him to ask him, right? You got to spend time with him. You can't just go up to a stranger and say, hey, can I have this? Can you give me this? They're going to be like, dude, get away from me. I don't even know you. Why are you asking me this? Where can you get wisdom? You can get it from him. And I promise that you can get it every single day by opening the pages of the Word of God. I promise that you can get it every single day by maybe spending some time in worship and definitely some time in prayer every single day. You can get it every single day from other believers that are like-minded, that are following Christ. Maybe it's in a life group. Maybe it's just a group of people or a close friends that you do life together with. He is the good shepherd who guides the sheep. And I love this. He guides. That means that our job is to follow, right? Our job is to follow. He wants us to go. You have to spend time with him. And when you do, he's going to give you wisdom. Psalm 31:8 tells us this about the Lord. He'll give you wisdom. Here's what the Lord says. The Lord says, I will guide you. I will guide you, he says, along the best pathway for your life. God says, I will advise you. And he also says that I will not only do those things, but during the whole process, I'm going to watch over you. I will guide you, I will advise you, and I will watch over you. The loving Father, tell me what to do. He might say, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to give you wisdom to decide. And I will guide you in the process. I will advise you in the process. And I will always watch over you. Anybody ever taught someone to ride a bike? It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that. Teaching someone to do something. Maybe it's a trade. Maybe it's just, you know, what you might call simple as riding a bike. God is watching you. He's advising, oh, man, okay, just keep it going. Oh, man, great job. Good job. Don't put your feet down. We took the training wheels off. They're not there, you know? And he's advising you. And the whole time, he's like a loving parent, just walking beside you or running, you know, and just making sure that, you know, he doesn't desire for us to get all banged up and bruised and cut and bleeding. He is watching over us in this entire process. Your Heavenly Father will guide you, advise you, and watch over you. And some of you, you're scared to death. What if, what if, what if? He'll guide you. He'll advise you. And he'll watch over you. And the third thing is very simple. It's this word, decide. Ask, walk, decide. I like the Karate Kid movies. Anybody else? I just love them. There's a point to that. Anyways, the original is still my favorite. Just in my opinion, that's the best one. But the new one's pretty cool. But Mr. Miyagi says a powerful statement in the first one. And I'm not going to do his voice, okay? So don't think you're going to get that today. He says, Daniel's son must walk. Walk on road. Walk on right side safe. Walk left side safe. Walk in the middle, sooner or later, squished like grape. Some of you aren't old enough to remember this classic. This is a classic. Go home and watch it. But it's really good advice. Really good. And what I want to say to those is don't be so afraid of making a mistake. Don't be afraid of making a mistake. The biggest mistake may be, you know, just, you know, walking down the middle and, you know, hopefully you don't get squished by a grape. But, you know, something, you know, might happen. But making a decision is a bad decision is better than not making a decision at all. Can I just say that? Because at least in the mistake, you'll gain wisdom. If you make no decision at all, you get nothing. If you read every success story, you will find a lot of failures. I don't know, probably one of the most impactful stories of success that I have read, common day or current day, is the story of Famous Amos. And I love Famous Amos cookies, and they're just amazing. And I encourage you, if you've never watched this story, go pull it up on YouTube, or you can even pull it up online and read the story. This guy failed and failed and failed and failed and failed and failed. And then it was like, boom, he just started getting it right because he started gaining wisdom. He learned from his mistakes. So here's the question. How do I know if this is God? That's a question that a lot of us ask, isn't it? Like, how do I know if this open door is for God or it's to an empty elevator shaft that the enemy wants me to jump down on, you know, and actually, you know, get hurt? You know, how do I know that this desire is something that I want, or is it a desire that's something God wants for me? And if Scripture doesn't give you clear direction, in other words, there are things that God's Word says, do not do. And there are things in God's Word that says, always do these things. Whenever God's Word speaks, it's our response to follow. So wherever there is not a clear moral, scriptural direction, what does God do? What does God want me to do? God gives you wisdom to decide. Because like I said earlier, not everything is found in the Word of God. Not every answer is found in the Word of God. Show me what to do. God could have programmed you to do exactly what he wanted you to do. We call that a robot. But then you wouldn't have the freedom to choose to love him back. You wouldn't have that freedom. And that's one of the great things about being a child of God and being part of his creation as a human being is I have the freedom to do whatever I want. But I want to live my life for him. I want to honor him with everything that I do, say, and I think. I want to honor him with my life. And you may say, well, you know, there's so many choices. There's so many things that could go wrong. And you're freaking out. And God says, hey, listen, you decide. You decide on this one. You got this. I trust you because I've empowered you. Now it's time for you to make the call. You decide. What if I made a mistake? Make the call. You got this. In fact, looking at the Apostle Paul, this is what he says one time. He's seeking direction from God, and this is what he did not say. He didn't say that the Lord spoke to me and said, Paul, this is what thou shalt doeth. You know, he didn't say that. That's not what he said. This is what he said, 1 Thessalonians 3:1. He said, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. It's not a definitive statement. It was, you know, we thought about it, we considered it, and we just thought that it would be best, Paul said. We just thought it would be best. We didn't get God's direct answer. He didn't say anything, we just made a decision. And there are times when you just have to make a decision. I'm going to tell you right now as a pastor, there's sometimes that that I know God is directing me, and there's not a shadow, there's not a doubt in my mind, I'm 100% positive. And then there's other times where I say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you because I don't know the answer. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I still don't have an answer. And God, I've got to make a decision. What if I make a mistake? Guess what? When you make a mistake, what do you get? Wisdom. You get wisdom. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from other people's mistakes. And it may cost you an extra bill. It may cost you an extra semester in school. But you get wisdom that will last a lifetime, that you will be able to impart into others. God guides you. God coaches you. God watches over you. And he gives you the wisdom to decide. And he advises you. And he watches over every single one of us. Will you pray with me today? Father, we ask in this moment that you will help us. Give us divine direction. I know that there are so many that have some big decisions to make. God, where your word is clear, we will obey. But God, so often we know you give us wisdom to decide. So give us the courage to know that we're walking with you, empowered by your spirit. Give us the courage to decide in the faith to trust you. And as you continue praying today, I'm curious, how many of you would say, I'm a Jesus follower, just like Solomon. I want wisdom. I want wisdom. Man, do I want wisdom. I want to do what's right. I want to please God. If that's you, can you just, in all honesty, would you just raise your hand right now? You want to live a life that is pleasing to God. Thank you for your honesty. No more thinking about it. God, give us eyes to know the truth. Know your truth. And when there is not a moral directive from your word, give us wisdom to decide and the courage to follow through in faith. And as you keep praying today, we talked about asking. And there's those of you, the wisest thing that you could possibly do at this moment in your entire life is to ask Jesus to enter your life and change it forever. He will transform you. I just want to be really direct with you. There are those of you right now, if something happened to you in this moment and you went to heaven and you just stood before God, your response might be to God, man, I tried really hard. I was the best person that I possibly could. I went to church every now and then. I watched this thing online and I felt like a better person after. I just tried to be a good person. And God would look at you and say, I'm sorry, that's not good enough. That's not enough. Because here's the reality is God's standard is holiness. You know what God's will is for you and I? God's will is that we are holy. And the truth is, if you're really honest, you're not holy and neither am I. Every single one of us, we've sinned. The Word of God says that we've fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. You've done things that you're not proud of. You've disobeyed God. And this is why the wisest thing that you can do is recognize the most loving thing that our God ever did. And he sent his son Jesus, the Son of God, born without sin. He had never, ever sinned, hung out with and loved those who were sinners. But he did not leave them there. He hung out with them and their lives were changed because they encountered the power and the presence in this man named Jesus. Jesus became sin first on the cross. He died the most brutal death, was risen from the dead. And anyone, and includes you, it includes me, anyone who calls on his name would be forgiven, changed, made new, transformed. And if you recognize that today, you recognize, I need forgiveness, I need his grace, and by faith I surrender to Jesus today. The wisest thing you can do is say, yes, Jesus, I give my life completely to you. And if that's you today, I just want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand right where you're at? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take a step forward today and say, I surrender Christ. I surrender to you, Christ, today. Will you pray this with everyone? Pray together with those next to you. Heavenly Father, I give it all to you. Every bit of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Make me brand new. Fill me with your spirit so I can know your voice, follow your voice, and live completely for you. My life is not my own. I give it to you. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.